Good morning, everyone. It's good to be here. Find it a joy to be able to gather with God's people and be able to sing songs of worship to a holy God. This morning, it's a bit of a surprise. Keiston's first words when he woke up, he had squinty eyes. He came out of the bedroom and he just said, "Wow," as he looked at the snow. And I know a lot of times when we see the first snowfall, it's always exciting. And we always think, a lot of times as a Christian, we often think the verse that says, "Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow." In different places, another place in the scripture says, "Be whiter than snow." And the reason for that is that there's frost forming around a small speck of dirt. And I had to think of the scripture in Isaiah chapter I think it's one, first couple of verses, where God denounces the children of Israel's hypocrisy and their fake worship and their fake sacrifices and their hypocrisy when they went and offered sacrifices to God. And in the end of all that, he said, "Come now, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as wool." And I had to think of that snow out there that covers a blanket of dirt. It blankets the earth. It covers a lot of dirt. But if you take a shovel out there and you get rid of the snow, what you find under there is still the dirt. But what Christ does to our sins is he washes them away from our lives. He takes them away and he remembers them no more. And that's a beautiful thought this morning. Why don't we bow our heads and pray together, please. Heavenly Father, we come to you in Jesus' precious name. We thank you, Lord, for this new day, this day of opportunity that we get to come to church together, Lord, and we get to gather with your people. We get to be encouraged. Lord, we get to worship you through song. Lord, we get to read your word. Lord, we thank you for this freedom. Oh, Father, I know that we can so casually do this on a weekly basis, but Lord, we thank you. And I pray that our hearts could be turned to you in worship, in reverence to you, to a holy God, that you would draw each one of our hearts closer to yourself this morning. Lord, I desire to share your word that you've laid upon my heart. I pray that it could be simple. I pray that the message could be clear and it wouldn't be complicated. And I pray, Father, that you would edit the words you would not want me to speak, Lord. And just help me to share those things in simplicity and sincerity, that it would bless and edify those that hear. Convict the sinners and encourage the saints. This morning, Lord, we live in a day where evil is rampant. And as your children, I know you want us to, as was read this morning, to endure until the end so that we can be saved. And I know that you give us those promises in your word that we can. I love you, Lord, and I pray for wisdom. I pray just that you would help me to share those words in clarity. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, this morning, as I was pondering on what to share this week, the phrase kept going through my mind, that there remaineth therefore a rest for the people of God. So I was trying to find that verse. I think it was late yesterday afternoon. I went to the scriptures, and sometimes I just go upstairs with my Bible and I try to find what I'm looking for. And I was looking in the backside of my Bible where there's words, and I couldn't find the scripture. I knew it was in Hebrews. But I was just praying, Lord, and finally, you know, you look for confirmation on what God wants you to share, and then I found that verse. My eyes landed on it. "There remaineth therefore a rest for the people of God." It's in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 9. And I had to think of that. And my heart this morning, when I thought of that, there was to maybe encourage the believer that there is a rest. And I think of the word rest, maybe one of the first times it's found in the scriptures is when God rested on the seventh day from his works. I'm not sure if he was tired or if he was just establishing a principle. But he created the heavens and the earth and everything that's in there. He created humanity. And he said, he looked over everything and he said it was good. And he rested. And then, as you read throughout Scripture, there's a rest that God wants his people to have. The children of Israel, he wanted his people to have a rest. He wanted his people to enter into a rest. And that rest in that in that day was a physical place of rest in the land of Canaan. Most of them didn't make it, but today it's a spiritual rest. It's a place of rest in our hearts. It doesn't matter how stormy the weather is outside of our lives, we can be at peace with God. I thought of a story this morning. I know that I like stories, and I know children like stories, and sometimes I like telling stories. I met this family back in 2018, and I'm going to try to tell the story as he told me in his through an interpreter in his search for a place of rest. I forgot what his name was, but he was an Iraqi man with about five or six boys. I met him one day. He came in there, and he was so happy to be away from a war-torn country and into being into a place of rest. And he told me a bit of his story of how he came to that place. Mohammed, we're going to call him Mohammed. I'm not exactly sure. I forgot his name, but he was an Iraqi, so the name might fit. He lived in Iraq in a war-torn country. And his family, him and his family, were very familiar with fighting and missiles falling from the sky, exploding buildings around them. They lived in constant fear. And one morning they woke up with the sound of missiles and bombs happening outside. And he was telling me this story, and it was intense. His heart was crying. He had tears running down his face. And one of the missiles hit the building that they were staying at, and it killed one of his little boys. And he grabbed his family and they fled. They took off. They left this place of misery and danger behind them. And they kept fleeing. And they traveled from Iraq to Turkey, which is about 1,400 miles. And after they got to Turkey, they found a smuggler to get them across the water into a little island called Mytilene in Greece. And the trials and the hardships that this family went to get to a place of refuge. There's one thing that motivated them. He lost a lot back there. But he says, I want to get my family away from danger. I want to get myself away from physical danger. So he took off. And he was willing to face anything to get to that place. Lots of trials and lots of danger along the way. They traveled the 1,400 miles. They just left and they went from point A to point B to point C, and they kept going until they finally got to where they had no idea where they would end up. They just kept meeting smugglers. They would make a lot of money in those. They still do today. They would meet these people and they would take a lot of money from them, and then they'd go to a certain place and drop them off. But when they get to Turkey, Turkey is still you can't be a Christian, or it's still a dangerous, you can't seek refuge in Turkey. So they were seeking a place of rest, him and his family. When they got to Turkey, they had to sneak around, find another smuggler. They paid him a lot of money. And then this smuggler, they own a lot of these inflatable boats that can hold, there's various sizes, but there's some of them can hold about 20 people, and they stack about 30 people in these inflatable rafts, and they stick an outboard motor behind them, and they say, do you see those lights over there? They don't go with them. They appoint a captain, and they say, this guy, you drive toward that light. 45 minutes of water. And they go. Loaded down in these ships, these little inflatable boats are all whoppered, and it's dangerous, it's perilous, but they go because why? They want to seek a place of refuge. And some of them never make it. Some of them meet up with the coast guards that stop them and ship them back to their own country. Some of them capsize because of waves and all that, and then they drowned out in the middle of the sea in their striving to get to a place of refuge. But this man and his family were fortunate. They were blessed to be able to reach the shores of Mytilene. And when they get to the shores, they're called to take a knife to the boat and throw the thing off to the side and run to a certain place to find somebody to help them, and they seek refuge, and they're safe. And he came, and he was so happy. He lost his son. He died right before his eyes, exploded in his face. But he was so happy to be at a place of physical rest. We heard many of those stories, but I thought of that story as I was thinking about what to share today. And sometimes we as believers, we find ourselves in a bit of a Maybe we find ourselves when life's confusing, life can be a little challenging, and to enter into that rest can be a little hard. But God promised that it's there. And what will we do to get there? Later on in the chapter it says to labor to enter there, to enter into that rest. Hebrews chapter 4, I might read the entire chapter and just make a few comments on it as we go through. Hebrews chapter 4, it says, "Let us therefore fear lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed," I'm actually just going to read to verse 13. "For we which have believed do enter into rest, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest, seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. Again he limited a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. For if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? There remaineth therefore a rest for the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto him, unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do." And as I was looking into this here scripture, I know that my mind was to encourage the believer and for us as Christians to just to stay in that place of rest, to stay in that place of refuge. And I had to think, and I mean, as I was reading through here, it kind of, the entire chapter is more of a warning to those that are not in the place of rest or that are not able to be because of unbelief in their hearts. The Amplified Version of verses 1 and 2 says, "Therefore, while the promise of entering into his rest still remains and is freely offered today, let us fear in case any of you may seem to come short of reaching it or think he has come too late. For indeed, we have the good news of salvation preached to us, just as the Israelites, when the good news of the promised land came to them, but the message they did not benefit them because it was not united with faith in God by those who heard." The children of Israel in Egypt, they were tired of the 400 and some years of bondage that they were living in Egypt. They were tired of it. They wanted deliverance. But when the deliverance came and they roamed out in the wilderness for 40 some years, God's promise was to them every day. They failed. They said, sorry, God forgave. They failed, they said, sorry, and God forgave. Time and time and time again. God is a merciful God. He's a loving God. He doesn't want people to drown in their misery of sin. He doesn't want people to not enter into that place of rest. His promise was, if you guys leave Egypt, you could be in Canaan in the land of rest and possibly, I think somebody said 40 days they could have been there. But 40 years they were still spinning around out in the wilderness. Because of unbelief. They had the evidence before them. They saw the sea split wide open right before their eyes. They get on the other side, they start complaining. Can you imagine that? Having the evidence that God loves them and God wants them to prosper. God wants to take them to a place of rest. But they turn their backs on it and say, nope, I want my own way. I want my selfish lifestyle. I don't want to enter into that rest. So that's why God could say, I swear in my wrath that you won't enter into my rest because of unbelief. And I wrote in my Bible that their unbelief was evidenced by disobedience, by their simple disobedience to God's ways and God's word. So if you have unbelief, you won't enter into God's rest. And I know sometimes we can struggle with those two words, unbelief and doubt. And a sensitive Christian can think, well, do I have unbelief? Is there unbelief in my heart? So I won't ever be able to enter into that rest. And I like to I've faced that at times. But unbelief and doubt are vastly different terms. An illustration of that is when Thomas met Jesus, he says, I won't believe it until I put my hand in his side and I see the scars on his hands. He had no evidence. So there was doubt. And I know God doesn't want us to doubt. He doesn't want to, but he has mercy on our doubt. So sometimes he shows us evidence. And what do we do when he blatantly shows us his evidence? A lot of times Christians will say, thank you, Lord. Maybe when we're struggling, we're down and out and discouraged, and God ministers to us through his word. And we can say, thank you, Lord. And it lifts us up. That's doubt. We just simply doubt. But when Thomas said, I see, he says, oh, Lord, I believe. That's a difference than saying, Lord, I see it. I know it's there, but I don't want it. That's unbelief. And when you have that, you cannot enter into a place of rest. The children of Israel were in Egypt. They hated the bondage, but they refused to mix faith with the preaching of God's word so that they could have a place of rest. I found this verse in Jeremiah chapter 50, verse 6. My people, I think this is the Amplified version, my people have become lost sheep. Their shepherds have led them astray. They have made them turn aside to seductive places of idolatry on the mountains. They have gone along from one sin to another, from mountain to hill. They have forgotten their own resting place. And that can happen to people that refuse to believe God's promises. You can lose that place of rest and refuse to go back to it by repentance. In verse 6, it talks about they entered not in because of unbelief. We talked about that. They entered not in because of unbelief. How sad. They had an invitation, but they refused it. When things get really difficult, they longed again for the bondage in Egypt. Can you imagine? They said, we want the leeks and the onions back in Egypt. Why do you lead us out here to die? But they had the promise that if we leave Egypt, we will find a place of rest. But they refused it. But how beautiful. I think in verse 3 and then later on it talks about that. When we mix faith with God's word, when God ministers to our spirit, God shows us that we are undone in and of ourselves. And he ministers to us and we say, yes, Lord. You know, there's a place of surrender. There's a beautiful place that we as people can come to when we realize that in him I live and move and have my being. I cannot in and of myself do anything. And we surrender our will completely to Jesus Christ. And you know what? The storm clouds can come. The people can talk. They can say anything about my life they want to. It doesn't matter. I'm at a place of rest because I mix faith with God's word. And I can have rest. And I found that interesting. Verse 7, it says God limited his invitation to a certain day. There's only a one day that his invitation is available, and that's today. And it's now. Another place it says now is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. And then verse 8 says, for if Jesus, Joshua, had given them, that means if the children of Israel could have found a place of rest in the desert, Canaan would not have been necessary. But they couldn't find it in the desert because God said it's not there. God said it's in Canaan. So in our lives, we're prone to find rest in other areas where God does not give it. We want to maybe find rest when we come to church. Maybe if I just come to church, my parents are a Christian, I'm secure. But you know deep down in your heart that that's not the place of rest that God wants. But we try to deceive ourselves in thinking that I'm okay. I'm in here. But there is nowhere else to find rest than in the center of God's will, being surrendered to him, having faith in him, and trusting and relying on him for our every need. And therein we will have eternal rest for our souls. And God established that rest for his people. In verses 9 through 10, there remaineth therefore a rest for the people of God. He that has entered into his rest hath also ceased from his own works, as God did from his. And I think of I think of that there. You know, when we come to the end of ourselves, when we're facing a trial, we just come and bow our hearts before the Lord. And I'm sure that as a Christian, you face times of deep sorrow, you face times of deep sadness, and you cry out to God, and you're lying maybe there in the quietness of your bed, and God ministers to your spirit through a verse or something. And that's how much He loves you. He cares about that. He cares about you that much that He's willing to give you that. In verse 11, it says to labor to enter into that rest, lest any man should fall after the same example of unbelief. I don't quite understand that in its depth, but I know the word labor is literally translated be diligent. I think it's just to keep your faith current, and don't let it slip away. Don't let your desires wander and fall after the things of this world, but keep your heart with all diligence, for out of that are the issues of life. And I think another place it talks about having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Just keep our faith current. Keep our hearts and life aligned with God's word. When sin happens in our life, be quick to repent. Be quick to say sorry. Stay in the place of rest. Don't climb out from under that resting place as they did in Jeremiah, I think it was Jeremiah 50 verse 6, where they said they forgot it. They moved away from it. And I think of verses 11 through 13. I love that those for struggling Christians, for those that maybe have a battle with thoughts and things, the Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. It divides the soul and spirit, the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. It's so sharp that it can tell whether the thoughts that are racing through your mind are the intents of your heart. Sometimes we get that confused, like, why is my mind racing? Why am I struggling with these things? God knows. God knows your heart. And I like to think when it's confusion, we put it in the enemy's camp. But when it's clarity, we know it's from God. So my heart was just to encourage us as believers that there is a place of rest. And there's a few verses that I have in closing, Isaiah 35, verse 7. When I read these verses this morning, I couldn't help but read the whole chapter, but I won't. It was encouraging for me to read it. It talks about, I think it's future glory in Zion. And Isaiah 35, verse 7 says, and the proud... I might back up just a little bit. Verse 4 says, say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense, and he will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as a hart, and the tongue of the dumb shall sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break out, and the streams in the desert, and the parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water. In the habitation of dragons, where each lay, shall be grass and the reeds and rushes. In other words, it's saying that though the time may be dark, stay in that place of rest. There's future joy and blessing coming. Isaiah 65, another chapter that's really encouraging for us as believers. Verse 10. And the Sharon shall be a fold of flocks in the valley of Acre, a place for the herds to lie down for my people that have sought me. I just think that's a picture of rest. You know, and I think as Christians, we can find that place of rest. We can truly allow God to lead us to those green pastures and allow us to be encouraged by rest. I think there was some verses that I thought about. There were a lot of contrasts of rest versus unrest for those that do not believe. But I think we understand that. We know that when we're not living according to the will of God, there's unrest in our spirit. But if you're a child of God this morning, your heart's clear before the Lord, there's a promise of rest that you can have. So may God bless you.